Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. I'm Kate Laity and I'm your host today on The Speakeasy. And today I just want to have a brief show about humor, in part because there's a story that I want to read, but also because I'm constantly fascinated by the idea of humor and how different the things we find funny are. And I did threaten you in the description with Henri Bergson, who, trivia fact, is the uncle, I believe, of Jonathan Miller, who was in Beyond the Fringe with Peter Cook and Dudley Moore and Alan Bennett, of course. But he wrote a fairly influential essay called Laughter, and which has moments of, yes, he's a French theorist, so there are headlines, the comic in general, the comic element in forms and movements, expansive force of the comic. But a lot of what he says about it is fairly interesting. And as he says, this is a quote, the greatest of thinkers from Aristotle downwards have tackled this little problem, what does laughter mean? Which has a knack of baffling every effort, of slipping away and escaping only to bob up again, a pert challenge flung at philosophic speculation. Our excuse for attacking the problem in our turn must lie in the fact that we shall not aim at imprisoning the comic spirit within a definition. We regard it, above all, as a living thing. And I think that's a really important part of it, and part of the difficulty. When you start to study humor, it's like explaining jokes. They fall flat. And it's very hard to capture that living thing in any meaningful way. And again, all the people who think they're funny tend not to be. That's my observation. People who say, oh, he's a really, really funny guy. And you're like, yeah, no, he's not. Humor is a very subjective thing. And I think that having early been, converted to surrealism, because that it's something that I just find really, really funny, and a lot of people who like more sort of mimetic kind of humor don't. And I think that's really a dividing point of people like, well, I just don't get it. It's not funny. And I mean, it's not funny can be a perfectly legitimate judgment because it's something that either works or it doesn't. You can't be convinced that something is funny over time unless there are lots of sort of other things that happen in the background. And again, as my friends will attest, there are things that just strike me as so funny that I can hardly breathe, I can hardly talk. And I've been fascinated with this idea of what makes something really, really funny. And, of course, I've tried to make funny things. I have behind me here a whole shelf of British humor, something that I was introduced at a fairly early age and really stuck. And it's significantly different. I mean, every culture has a sense of humor that's probably more common to the people within it than to the people outside it. Although, you know, I think Swedish and Norwegian humor is probably very close. But let's not test that theory right now. But for some reason, I'm just a lot more attuned to British humor than I am to a lot of American humor, which is not to say that I don't also appreciate that. And I mean, I grew up in a time where comedy was still very much a part of sort of variety programming. And so, as I mentioned, Toadie Fields, an unfortunately not well-known comedian now, who was just a regular talk show guest, not host, and very funny. And so I was raised with people like her and Phyllis Diller, as well as, of course, people like Richard Pryor and George Carlin and Lily Tomlin, like that were more sort of the new wave of humor that was coming along in the 70s and the late 60s. But enough of that. Today, inspired by a story that Stephanie Johnson had posted about the destruction of the big W from It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, I decided I wanted to read Ham on Heels, which is a story by Graham Wind, which is actually me. That's my noir name. So if you see that name, that means this is noir. But it was inspired by, I don't remember. That's the other thing, the elusiveness of comedy is that it's got this quicksilver capability of just slipping away. I don't remember the conversation that inspired it, but she came up with this amazing image, Ham on Heels. And so I meant to write a story for it, and then I kind of got distracted by other things, and then I finally wrote the story for it. And it's something, it comes out of the milieu of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, which if you haven't seen, go right now and go watch it. Because it's one of these sort of loopy comic classics that's both of its time, and yet much of it, and there's points of it that it's a little bit long, but much of it is still just, I think, just very, very funny. And it lasts. Okay, before I run out of time, a short flash fiction, Ham on Heels by Graham Wind. Tyler Fitzgerald threw himself down at the bar, sweating profusely. Give me a whiskey. Seeing the bartender scowl, he added, please. He mopped his brow with a handkerchief already sodden with perspiration. How long did he have? Not long, surely. His gaze strayed to the door, but it remained closed. There was almost no one else in the bar, just some other lowlife at the far end nursing a PBR. The whiskey came, and he slapped a 20 on the bar before upending it. The burn at least distracted him for a moment. He had to think. You okay, mister? The young barkeep looked concerned. That was probably for the trouble a dead man might bring than any desire to keep Tyler healthy. Yeah, I'm fine. His ticker might have disagreed with that assessment. Hypertension. It was the worst. Doc said he ought to be more careful, stay away from certain things. Like Sylvia. Like a tune that wormed into memory and wouldn't get out until you got another equally annoying refrain stuck there. In his head, those words she taught him repeated. Who is Sylvia that all the swans commend her? It was some poem, probably Shakespeare, but he wasn't sure. What swans had to do with anything, he didn't know. She told him that back when they started. He heard the click of heels. Or thought he did. This place got a back door? Sure. That's all he needed to hear. Tyler bolted. The bartender murmured something about his change or whatever, but he wasn't listening. The door stuck for a moment and his heart leapt into his throat. Then it creaked open and the night air smelled sweet, even in this dirty old town. Tyler took a lungful, closing his eyes to enjoy it before he had to rush on. Which way? He peered into the dark. The alley extended into blackness, seized him. There had to be a way out. Tyler ran into the black, but it proved to be a grimy wall of concrete blocks, black from God knows what and far too tall to scale. He scrabbled at the coarse surface anyway, hoping his fingers might grip something, anything. And then he heard the clicking of her heels behind him and knew it was over. Tyler, what you doing? If she could have chewed gum, she would have been snapping it then. But she was just a ham on heels and had no mouth. Sylvia, you're killing me. Tyler sank to the ground, helpless before her, as she sauntered toward him. He could smell the salty brine. He licked his lips. You gotta stay away. But I'm so very tasty, she crooned. And he wondered again how she could speak with no mouth. He wished even more that he belonged to some venerable religion that would keep him from ever letting such a tasty morsel pass his lips. My doctor tells me Sylvia, show some mercy. She stopped just a short step away from him and started to do a striptease. All that succulent meat, it was too much. Baby, just a taste, just an ick-a-bitty taste. The stiletto heels flashed in the moonlight like warning lights. Tyler closed his eyes, but that ham on its heels had seared on his retinas. When he dared open them again, a small, almost bacon-like strip hung before him. It was too much. He opened his mouth, and it was good, so good, salty and briny and so very, very tasty. His heart seized up. And it was all over in seconds. His dead eyes stared blankly as Sylvia hitched up her fishnets and sauntered away. There was another man out there with a taste for it. She'd find him soon enough. You can find that online at Pulp Metal Magazine. Jason at Pulp Metal Magazine is a big help in taking a lot of very, very strange pieces. There's another Graham Wine story there, 30 Versions of Warm Leatherette, which is based on the fact that my friend Marco Fontaine, who is on now on the Punk Rock Jukebox on WECS, if you want to turn over, who gave me a collection of 30 different versions of Warm Leatherette. So you never know what sort of strange things will come in one ear and come out in a story. Comedy is an interesting thing. Imagination is an inexplicable thing. And it is our nature to make stuff up and to come up with all these crazy things. So thank you for listening to this very short version of The Speakeasy. And we are bound to have more things whenever we feel inspired. So thank you for listening. And I hope you check out our other episodes. And if you're on Facebook, be sure to drop by and like The Speakeasy Radio page. And I should just give those URLs that are in the program description, sljohnsonimages.com, grahamwind with a Y, .com, and of course also me, I'm kalaity.com. So thank you for listening, if you did, and I hope you have a lot of laughs today. Bye-bye.